Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As the just in the Old Testament, especially towards the time of our Savior's actual birth, yearned and longed with a holy impatience, a true expectation for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, so too did our brethren in the faith, the Catholics of the late Middle Ages, long and yearn for the ending of what was called the Church's Babylonian captivity. That is to say, a long period, 70 years, of great confusion, when there were several different claimants to the papal throne, and the Church was split in two, three, even four sections at times by the sin of schism. Connected with this evil was the fact that for a number of factors, the Pope had transferred his see from Rome, where the Pope is the bishop, to Avignon in southern France. Most of the popes for a number of decades were of the French nationality. The one who brought that to an end is honored today as one of the blesseds of the Church, Blessed Urban V. His life points out several intriguing truths for us to keep in mind. The first of these is this, very simply. You don't have to be perfect to be a saint. Well, you have to love our Lord very, very much, and there mustn't be any sin on your soul. But certain faults or defects of character are not incompatible with that. Urban V was William de Grignaud. He was a Benedictine, French Benedictine monk, and eventually a cardinal, and then finally, as I say, elected pope. He stood out from so many of the clergy and the prelates of his day because of his great love for poverty. He himself professed the vow, and he lived the vow of poverty, and his great charity to the poor, the fact that he had nothing at all to do with the common sins of the day, luxury, worldliness, simony, or the selling of sacred offices. And he was as a monk, and then later on as a bishop and as a pope. He was very devoted to Catholic education. He used to say, the first sin of the Christian is ignorance. Isn't that true today? How many there are who do not know their catechism? They couldn't tell you the basic prayers or the doctrines of our holy faith. One of his ways of fighting that when he was pope was to endow a number of scholarships for young students in Catholic universities in an arc, all the way from Krakow in Poland through France and into England at Oxford, so that the Church would have in the future good and able, well-learned defenders. During this time lived St. Catherine of Siena, and when Urban was elected, she was all the time writing him letters or going to see him in Avignon in France to tell him, you must go to Rome. She would tell him very respectfully, but very, very forcefully, with the authority of our Lord himself, you must go to Rome. And finally, the Pope, in spite of his advanced age and his health, agreed that he would return the see to Rome where it belonged. And the people turned out to meet him. There was great rejoicing, and there was a tremendous upsurge of hope for the Church and for Rome and for Italy. But when the Pope got there, he found all of his great churches, the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul, St. Mary Major, and the Lateran, almost in ruin. He didn't even have a place to stay. He was impoverished by the work that he did to put those churches into working order again. And at the same time, it's one of those situations when there was so much potential, if only the means had been there, because the Emperor Michael Palaiologos from Constantinople came to see the Pope about submitting to become a Catholic instead of Orthodox, and to ask the Pope for his assistance fighting against the Muslims, against the Turks. And the Pope had no place to receive him except the steps of St. Peter's Basilica. That's how reduced to poverty he was. But he offered him his blessing and every spiritual encouragement. But he said when it came to money, he was sorry that he had none. He didn't even have enough to carry out the basic repairs that he needed to be doing in the city of Rome. Doubtless with all of these problems, including the fact that two Catholic countries, France and England, had just declared war on each other, the Pope grew discouraged, and with his discouragement, he grew ill. And the French have this idea that when they're sick, the very best thing in the world for them to do is to go back to France and to breathe the French air. So his cardinals were all the time telling him this, whereas St. Catherine of Siena was saying, no, no, you must be brave, you must be loyal and strong. What a glorious thing it would be for you to die right in front of St. Peter's altar. That's where you should be. So, but he made up his mind to leave, and another saint came, St. Bridget of Sweden. She, on important occasions, it seems that this queen, saint, rode a white horse. She must have been very impressive. She rode a white horse right into Rome, went to see the Pope and say, Holy Father, you must not leave. God wants you to stay. But he was too weak. She predicted that he would die if he left. And he went along with his counselors, and he went back to France, and within 5 months, of course, he was dead. And all the great things that could have happened didn't. But still, he went to heaven, and he's a blessed on the calendar of the Church, which goes to show, as I say, that even grave defaults of character, as long as they are not united with persistence in mortal sin, still permit us to attain to sanctity. This is the season of Advent. We continue our Advent, our Christmas novena after Mass. We ought to pray for that sense of longing for the restoration of Holy Mother Church. I imagine that most of us don't even think anymore of praying every day for our Lord to give us a true Pope and a good and a holy Pope to boot. But we should make that part of our daily Mass, rosary, and prayer intentions with that same longing as the Jews had of old for the Messiah, the same longing that the Catholics in the Middle Ages had for the restoration of the Church. May it be ours today. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.